You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're not going anywhere. To answer your question, whether you post it to me on social media or you're thinking it, no, we're not going anywhere. And I, for one, am extremely happy about that. I'm good. I'm good where we are. I like the niche we've carved out. And, of course, it's one of the coolest stages of the year. We get to take the show on the road. And this time it'll be Miami, not to the actual stadium with all of its various aliases. But we will be posted up at Miami Beach Convention Center for Radio Row. It's actually not that far from the water, which is fun. I certainly know that when I was walking my dog on Monday morning in four degree wind chills, at one point, actually, I got back into my house and I looked at my phone again to see what the real field temperatures were, and it had dropped down to two. That's obscene. Anyway, I do love winter, so I guess I can't complain about the dog walks. It's my choice to have a dog that needs to walk 3 miles a day. Anyway, while I was walking the dog and freezing my arse off yesterday morning, I was thinking, it's not going to be this cold in Miami. It could be 50 in Miami and it's going to feel like the middle of summer. Anyway, Miami is on the horizon. We'll be taking our show to 790 The Ticket for 3 nights and during the day on Radio Row and grabbing some cool interviews. And I know producer Chris is working on the list. He's guarding it as well. It's top secret. It's very classified. So you will find out when I find out. But that's coming up next week. This week, it's the run-up. It's got a lot of preparation attached to it. And if you hear players who've been through the Super Bowl experience before, they will tell you that once you get to the site of the Super Bowl, sure, they'll have practices, they'll have walkthroughs, but it's such a circus. No matter who you are, no matter whether you have a superstar in your team, a household name or not, there's so many demands on your time. There's ticket requests, family and friends around. There are appearances and there are media availabilities and there are all kinds of different things that you have to do that take away from your preparation. And so this is the week now where both the Chiefs and the Niners will institute the game plan, will practice, will watch film as much as possible because they want to be able to cram everything in while they're still at home and can still have some semblance of a routine. While you can attempt potentially to block out the fact that it's the Super Bowl and you have a chance to win a game that could change your life forever. Andy Reid was actually talking about avoiding those distractions as much as possible in this countdown.
You try to get as much done as you possibly can right here. And so that's what we'll do. Get most of the game plan in while you're in your own environment here. Try to keep it as normal as possible.
Of course, what is normal? How does one define normal exactly when one is about to attempt to win one's first Super Bowl ring in one's complete and total history? For Andy Reid, it was 15 years ago that he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh my gosh, thinking back to that, T.O. and Donovan McNabb. Anyway, so he was with the Eagles then, and the Eagles lost that Super Bowl, of course. And here he has an opportunity to get back now. And while he's not playing the Patriots, in fact, they beat the Patriots already this season, got that 2 seed. It's cool to think about who's on the other side, right? The Niners, with all their tradition, with all of the Super Bowl wins that they have in their past, though it has been a while. I kind of look at this Super Bowl like it's a feel-good story. No matter who emerges as the victor, to me, it's a feel-good story. It's a happy Super Bowl ending. We like happy endings, right? And I'm not suggesting that the losers are going to be happy just to be there. But for those of us who are watching around the country, there are people that we can root for. There's no real villain in this Super Bowl, at least not from my perspective. Regardless of who wins, I feel like fans can be happy for that team and for the people involved. Unless, of course, you have one of those deep-seated rivalries, for instance, if you're a Raiders fan and you can't possibly cheer for the Kansas City Chiefs, or who'd be the chief rival for the Niners? Would it be the Seahawks still? Would it be the Rams? It's a good question. I don't actually know who the chief rival would be for the Niners. They've gone through such a metamorphosis going back to those days when they had the three consecutive NFC championships against the Seahawks. And their games this year were good, but I don't know. That's a good question. It's a completely different version of the Niners than the ones that we saw in the 80s and then the 90s getting to Super Bowls and, of course, winning with Joe Montana and then Steve Young and Jerry Rice and even T.O., of course. They've gone through such a transformation since the last time they won. We're asking you on this edition of the show, our Twizzler Tuesday question, what's the best Super Bowl of all time? Not your favorite Super Bowl of all time. The best Super Bowl of all time. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Andy Reid went 15 years in between Super Bowls. Not nearly as long a span for Kyle Shanahan. And I was saying this last hour, I wonder if in a moment of truth, Shanahan would tell you that he never thought it would come back this quickly or come around again this quickly. And what did he learn? He was the Falcons offensive coordinator in Super Bowl 51, where they had the worst collapse in the game's history. So what did he take away from that failure?
When we're way up in the fourth quarter on Green Bay and stuff, I mean, I know what 28 minus 3 is, and I know 25-point lead in the fourth quarter isn't enough. So when we only have a 14-point lead with 8 minutes to go versus Green Bay, I can promise you that I think I feel, from experience, like the game is tied.
How about that? Kyle Shanahan brings it up. I know what 28 minus 3 is. Hey, if you're going to fail, which we all fail, you might as well use it to learn valuable life and career lessons, because otherwise it was just a failure, just a speed bump. You can turn it into a major positive. Listen to this. It's like everything you ever needed to know you learned in kindergarten. When you fall, you get back up. So once he opened Pandora's box, of course, then there was more to say about that Super Bowl loss.
Losing a Super Bowl is extremely tough for everybody, especially when you lose one when you have a 28-3 lead going into the fourth. But the way it came down on me personally, you know, I didn't react to that, I think, the way people would expect, because, you know, I there's definitely parts in that Super Bowl that I would love to have back.
Yeah. What ifs? All those what ifs. But I think it's interesting that he doesn't take away from that experience when I should run the ball and when I should pass the ball. And that's what a lot of people are kind of chortling at in the wake of the NFC Championship, because what do? They ran the ball, they ran the ball, they ran the ball, they ran the ball. But yet back in the Super Bowl, when they had the lead, they didn't run the ball maybe when they should have. I mean, we can play the what-if game. There's no way to go back and change it. It is what it is. Pete Carroll and the Seahawks could have run the ball at the goal line late in their game. What is it about teams that play the Patriots? They just get all kinds of messed up and confused. So that Super Bowl is being fingered by some of you as the best of all time. And it's hard to argue against it. The only Super Bowl ever to go into overtime, the greatest either comeback or collapse, depending on your perspective, in Super Bowl history. But there certainly are other candidates for best Super Bowl of all time. I love this walk down memory lane. Some of them I can remember, some of them I cannot. Some of them I wasn't even around for. Dan says on Facebook, no contest. Super Bowl 43, Steelers, Cardinals, 100-yard interception return, and a fantastic finish. That's kind of the theme that I'm getting from you guys. When there's a finish that keeps us sucked in until the end, that generally makes it a candidate for best Super Bowl ever. But some of you are mentioning other, maybe dynamic plays, moments that you can't forget, Hall of Famers that were involved, the significance of the game. So whatever it is, that's our question this morning. What's the best Super Bowl of all time? A-Law Radio After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. The Packers and the Titans, they both came up short, so they won't have a chance to get to the Super Bowl this year. But I think in both cases, the Titans as well as the Packers, there are certainly reasons for optimism. Yes, questions that have to be answered in the next few months, but at least for Mike Vrabel, it seems like after the Titans had their second Super Bowl, second playoff berth in 3 years, and the fact that he's managed to now rebuild this culture, so it's a winning culture with winning expectations, and they go from being a sixth seed to getting into the AFC Championship, that the positive outweighs the negative. Now, they could be like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who went to the AFC Championship a couple years ago, and since then, it's been of a bit of a mess. However, for Vrabel, I think the future is bright.
Same way I didn't prepare a speech in the locker room after the game. I didn't, I would rather have stood in front of him and talked to him about keys to winning the Super Bowl. That didn't happen. I thanked him. I'm thankful for their effort. I'm proud to say that I coach them. Talked to them about what they represent away from here, their family, this organization, their careers.
It's always tough to say goodbye at the end of a season. We always hear it from athletes, though. It's tough even if you get to the Super Bowl. Only one team has that joy and that euphoria and the lack of regrets, the complete void of what-ifs. Every other team has the what-ifs, and that includes the Packers. Though, again, just like the Titans, who are trending up, the Packers are in a similar situation. They're coming off of a resurgent season. In Matt LaFleur's first year as the head coach, I mean, what more could you ask for other than a trip to the Super Bowl?
Gosh, we went 13-3, and won a home playoff game, and had a chance, to go to a Super Bowl. But he was just consistent from the moment he got here. Gave this team to the players. Allowed us to really come together and have good chemistry through the offseason.
Mason Crosby, longtime Packers kicker, taking you inside the first year of Matt LaFleur, and sure. I would say even for the Packers in their wildest dreams, Packers fans, not Packers players, Packers fans. Could you have envisioned this? 13-3, the number two seed, partially because of tie breaks. A home playoff game, a home playoff win, a trip to the NFC Championship. And sure, it was a mess against the Niners again, but there's your gauge. And in both cases, Tennessee and Green Bay, I think the future is bright. And according to Aaron Rodgers, the window is not closing on the Packers. We shall see. Every year, there are teams that go from first to worst in their division and teams that go from worst to first. That is one of the things I love about the NFL. Anything is possible from 1 year to the next. All right, on Twitter, on Facebook, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Best Super Bowl of all time. That's your Twizzler Tuesday question. We'll get back to your responses coming up. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wasn't that long ago, but it was a pretty incredible Super Bowl. The Nick Foles Super Bowl. That's how I will remember. Of course, it was the for the Eagles, their first Super Bowl win in franchise history. And it included the Philly special, Philly, and included a dramatic finish and just some awesome moments. And I'm a sucker for those stories. The first one in franchise history. I don't know who's going to emerge victorious in Super Bowl 54, but either way, it'll be a feel-good ending because you've got the Niners who've gone through this, I mean, let's be honest, this journey in which they hit rock bottom, maybe more than once. The end of the Jim Harbaugh tenure. Jim Tom Sula, poor Jim Tom Sula. Chip Kelly. The start of the Kyle Shanahan coaching regime. But then once they decided they had a quarterback that they wanted in Jimmy Garoppolo, they pay him, he tears his ACL. I mean, they've waited. They've had to be patient, and they've gone through some growing pains to be sure. So the Niners, who haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years, against the Chiefs, who haven't won one in a half century. I hope we're looking back on it and saying that was one of the best Super Bowls ever. But since we haven't played it yet, we have 53 others to choose from. What's the best Super Bowl of all time? It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. Alex agrees, Super Bowl 52, Eagles over the Patriots. Merrill Reese with the final call on the Eagles radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The San Francisco 49ers don't get to the Super Bowl if they don't have Raheem Mostert, and he was your choice for Monday MVP. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a closer look again at the one who got it done. And this week, it's the six-time cut, undrafted running back Raheem Mostert, whose baby is the most adorable baby I've ever seen, at least right now. He keeps popping up on TV. I've got the NFL Network up in here. And so every time they show the podium and Mostert getting interviewed, he's got his baby in his arms. And I mean, that does it for me. So the NFC Championship saw a record 4 touchdowns. And for the longest time, Mostert had as many touchdowns as Jimmy Garoppolo had completions. 220 yards for Mostert, a guy that was originally pegged to be a special teams player. He had a fumbling problem. Kyle Shanahan nearly cut him, but he's earned his keep. And now he's got his own slice of history for the NFC Championship. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger, delivering the products that keep your facility running, is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger for the ones who get it done. All right, on Twitter, on Facebook, 855-212-4227. Best Super Bowl of all time. Greg is listening in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I listen to your show every morning.
Thank you.
My best one would be, and I can't remember the number, but it was 80-81 season, the Raiders against Philadelphia. Ron Jaworski against Jim Plunkett. And the reason I say that is that the Philadelphia Eagles were overwhelming favorites. And Jim Plunkett, coming off a Heisman Trophy, got buried in a horrible Patriots organization. Then went to San Francisco, and they weren't much better. Ended up in the latter half of his career with Oakland and pulled off the Super Bowl win. So you got a Heisman and a Super Bowl win from a guy that came from a family with two blind parents and wasn't your prototypical great quarterback, but was an amazing passer and great pocket guy. And I just thought it was a great storyline, and that's why, excuse me.
It's
Okay. I think it's one of the best of all time.
All right, so I looked it up so that we know the date. It was early 1981, but as you mentioned, it was the 1980 season. It was Super Bowl 15, Raiders over the Eagles 27-10. And it was in New Orleans, and Jim Plunkett was the Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
Cool.
So, those three accomplishments for him as a guy that, like I said, got buried after winning the Heisman, much like Archie Manning did in New Orleans. Hmm. You know, dude, you win the Heisman, you win the Super Bowl, and you get the MVP in the Super Bowl. That's a nice trilogy for a career coming out of his background. So
for sure. That's awesome. I did not know the back. I don't remember that Super Bowl. I didn't know the background. So I appreciate you sharing it with us, Greg. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
855-212-4227. Let's see if we can work in one more here. Michael is listening in Boston. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm going to have to go with, I'm a big Colts fan, so, but watching Peyton Manning beat the Bears in the Super Bowl and winning his first Super Bowl and watching him lift the trophy was definitely one of those moments I think everybody was watching, because, first of all, Indianapolis couldn't beat the Patriots in the championship game, so that was more the Super Bowl than the actual Super Bowl. But, you know, to me, that was probably one of the ones that everybody loved watching Peyton Manning, and for him to finally win a Super Bowl, that was amazing.
I agree. He was a sentimental favorite. And as we had one listener know earlier, it was also historical because you had two African-American head coaches, Jim Caldwell and Lovie Smith, right? So, Tony Dungy. I'm sorry. Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith. And so it was significant for that reason as well. So, yeah, that goes back to, man, I can't believe it's been that long. But it goes back to 2007 in the 2006 season. So you're right. Peyton, to get that first Super Bowl ring when they'd been denied before, I mean, that was huge. So I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Michael, listening in Boston, that's not really a place where you would expect to get a caller to talk about Peyton Manning winning a Super Bowl ring. I like it. You never know where people are going to come from and who they're going to root for. Andrew Bogish is here in studio. Please don't ask me how I'm doing. I've answered that question, I think, a dozen times in the last 60 minutes. And I know you don't really care that much anyway.
I'm not even listening now.
Thank you for being honest. So the question is not your favorite Super Bowl of all time. I've had to clarify. Some woman called up and said the best Super Bowl of all time was when the Cowboys beat the Bills 52-17. I mean, that's not a good game. So what's the best Super Bowl of all time?
Well, I will say that Broncos Seahawks, even though it was not even close to a good game, has a special place in my heart because I was there. It's the only school I've been at.
Wow,
so I have to mention that.
That is cool.
You know, Eagles Patriots, even though it's two of my sworn enemies squaring off, was a pretty entertaining game. But the first Giants Super Bowl win over the Patriots, I think, to me, is the best game that I have been alive for and could see and enjoy
and
understand
remember
what was going on. Yes.
Understand what was going on. I'm trying to think back to really the first one that I remember vaguely the Joe Montana, some of the Super Bowls, but I think the first one that I really remember being emotionally invested in was the Bills' first loss of their four in a row and the Scott Norwood kick that was wide right. That
was probably the first one I can remember as well.
Right. So that was the one that I just remember the feelings. And it was also the Whitney Houston National Anthem Super Bowl. So for me, I don't remember a lot of what happened in the middle, but I remember Whitney Houston and I remember Scott Norwood. And those were the bookends for that Super Bowl. But I said this earlier, I've since had a great conversation with Thurman Thomas about it. And he talked about just kind of the ebbs and flows and how patriotic it was. It was red, white, and blue everywhere, and it was overwhelming. It was their first one, but yeah, that's probably the first, like, the earliest memory I have of, like, watching an actual Super Bowl and feeling the emotions of it.
You know, I'm scrolling through an NFL.com list. They ranked all 52 or 53 games.
Really?
And now, again, this is a subjective list, obviously, but the large majority of the first 15 games are recent games. Mm. So going off
We're
this
spoiled.
List, we've been spoiled recently.
Mm-hmm. Agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. And a lot of the answers that we're getting are coming from, I would say, the last 20 to 25 years.
It's also a human fault to be biased towards what you've seen recently. So there is also that.
I don't know if this is an actual term, but I called it recency bias.
No, that's a real thing.
Oh, is it a term?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't just make it up. That's good. All right. Thank you, Andrew, for participating and not asking me how I'm doing. I'm doing great. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, Best Super Bowl of All Time.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Feel super, baby! The five-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami, where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other hand.
Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever, because today the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
AFC Championship, NFC Championship. Championship Sunday actually saw its lowest TV ratings in 11 years, which is odd to me. I don't have any idea why. Well, I have some ideas. I don't know exactly why. But the numbers were not as good as what I expected and certainly did not continue the trend from what we'd seen earlier in this playoff run. So the wild card weekend that was up and the divisional weekend that was up even more. Championship Sunday, not as much, but I am expecting big things, expecting greatness from Super Bowl 54. Greg Papa with the final call on the Niners radio network, Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network, and the countdown is well underway. So it's fun to take this brief look back and ask the question, what's the best Super Bowl of all time? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In your opinion, what is the best Super Bowl of all time? Ben finds me on Twitter and says, Giants in 08. Come on, it's easy. David versus Goliath. And that was, of course, the 07 season in which the Patriots were undefeated until they lost to Eli Manning, David Tyree, the helmet catch. It was so dramatic. It was, I would agree with that. I think if I'm pointing to the best one of all time, I'm looking at that one. I'm looking at Packers Broncos going back to the late 90s, Brett Favre, John Elway, the whirling dervish. We talked about Giants Bills, Scott Norwood, wide right, Cardinals Steelers, Santonio Holmes, Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner. And then I go back to, I mean, you know, there have been many dramatic moments for the Patriots in winning these six Super Bowls. But I think Panthers Patriots Super Bowl, that was really entertaining. Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl was also good because the Eagles made a comeback late. But the one that I think I first thought of, though, is their very first of these six rings against the Rams and the Greatest Show on Turf and the Adam Vinatieri field goal. And it was the introduction of the Patriots and Tom Brady on this national stage. And little did we know at the time. Also, I want to quickly just amend what I said to Andrew during our last segment. I was getting my dates wrong, and that's not unlike me. It's very much like me, which is why I have the list of Super Bowl dates up in front of me so I can remember what happened when. Yes, I vividly remember Giants and Bills, but before that, I remember Doug Williams, the Washington Redskins, coming back against the Broncos. Denver was up 10-0, I think, in the first quarter, and Doug Williams, Timmy Smith, led this phenomenal comeback and blew him out of the water. And while I don't remember watching Niners Broncos, I also remember the score of that forever. That was 55-10. So there are other Super Bowl memories that I have, and Doug Williams and the Redskins, well, that'll be forever part of me as a fan, a kid who just got my little Broncos heart broken. But in terms of being able to watch one and not be emotionally invested as a, you know, with a rooting interest as a fan, Bills Giants was, I mean, that was like my introduction to what the Super Bowl is really all about. 855-212-4227. Let's see. I'm going to sort through some of your responses. Here's a tweet. Joe Namath guaranteed the win. That was Super Bowl number 3. Super Bowl 42, the end of the perfect season for the Patriots. So that's coming from Paul on Twitter. Kale says Rams Titans left me on the edge of my seat the entire game. So going back to Rams Titans, that was, of course, the greatest show on turf. That was the 99 season, Kurt Warner. And what an incredible story. His whole career embodied. He was the epitome of the comeback kid. All right, let's talk to Jason, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hey, Amy, thanks for taking my call this morning.
You're welcome.
I'm a Redskins fan, so the first real memory that I have is Super Bowl 17. From about the 42-yard line, it's fourth down. Redskins decide to go for it. Riggins breaks through the line, shakes off Don McNeil's tackle, and rumbles. I think at that time it was the longest Super Bowl run, about 42, 43 yards or so, to actually seal the deal for the Redskins and beat the Dolphins for that year. So that's the memory that I have. And on another note, you are correct. It was 10-0 Broncos in the first quarter. Doug Williams actually got hurt. Jay Schrader comes in, doesn't really do much. Williams comes back and then throws the 5 TDs in the second quarter. So. Mm. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Good to talk to you. I appreciate your phone call from Baltimore. He mentioned Redskins-Dolphins Super Bowl 17, which was the 82 season. John Riggins was the MVP, and that took place at the Rose Bowl. That'd be kind of fun to go back and have a Super Bowl at the Rose Bowl. But even as I'm going through some of these Super Bowl memories, ones I can remember personally and ones I can't, it's kind of funny to see the names of the various stadiums, the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. Let's talk to Brent, who's in Oregon.
All right,
Brent,
well,
good morning. 12. Good
okay.
morning.
Thank you. You too.
Are you ordering your breakfast?
Hello?
No. Hello to you.
Yeah, I was calling in about the Super Bowl.
What else are you doing?
I was thinking the one Super Bowl nowhere I heard mentioned, Super Bowl 13.
He's not going to answer.
The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, Super Bowl 13. That would have been the 78 season. The Steelers beat the Cowboys. Terry Bradshaw was the MVP.
Dallas, the number one team in the NFC. Pittsburgh, the number one team in the AFC.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were favored all year, and they made it to the Super Bowl. Doomsday defense versus the Steel Curtain.
Awesome.
Terry Bradshaw versus Roger Staubach.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that one. That was pre-me, but I appreciate that memory. It sounds like it would have been a good one. I've seen highlights, of course.
Yeah, they won like 38. The final was like Pittsburgh 35, Dallas 31.
Yes.
In a game that went back and forth.
Good memory. I can't remember every details like that. I can barely remember scores of games that happened this weekend, for heaven's sakes. So good for you, Brent. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay.
Just a bit outside.
So even as I said good morning, I'm thinking about the fact that in Oregon it's not even 3 o'clock in the morning yet. But maybe he has an early start and he was ordering his breakfast. That's what it sounded like, didn't it? It sounded like he was ordering at a drive-thru somewhere. Although I suppose it could have been a late night snack after he got off work. David's in Atlanta. David, what's the best Super Bowl of all time?
One of the best Super Bowls of all time, in my opinion, was when the New York Football Giants snapped the Patriots' unbeaten streak and left them at 18-1.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people share that opinion, actually.
Yeah, I think primarily because the Patriots were the overwhelming favorite to win that game, and the Giants won all their games on the road and wasn't really expected to compete in that Super Bowl. So for me, I think that's one of the greatest, the result, that is.
Yeah, well, the game itself was really phenomenal, too. It was so dramatic, and it was good to the very end. So, yeah, I would agree with that. It was a lot of fun to watch. I remember being at a party, so it was one of the Super Bowl I mean, it's not that recent anymore, but it was a memory that I have where I wasn't actually working. So it was fun to be at a party. And I just remember how all of us, and I'm sure it was this way across, sports bars and restaurants and homes all over America, just exploded with the David Tyree catch. Like, what? Like, I still remember people were jumping up and down on the couch. I mean, it was crazy.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
Thank you, David. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
So I'm partially laughing at the Bill Belichick drop, but I'm also, I need you guys to interpret. Are you guys ready? Can you guys speak autocorrect? I just want you to know I'm reading this verbatim. I did not write this. Nick sends me this tweet. That Titans versus Arabs game. At first, I thought it was like some kind of a slur. And then I'm thinking, no, it's got to be autocorrect. So Titans versus Arabs, inches away. Wait.
The Rams.
And, unless, of course, it is some kind of insult, and I just don't get it.
I don't get how you get there.
I don't either.
Like, it's not the right amount of letters. It's not, like, usually it's within the same vicinity. It starts with the same letter or it ends with the same. It's just not even close.
So then maybe I shouldn't be laughing because maybe it is actually supposed to be an insult.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't get the connection. But I do know sometimes that my phone takes a word and makes it into something completely different. So I'm going to say that he's a victim of autocorrect.
I hope so.
That Titans versus Arabs game. Have you guys tried typing it in and seeing what happens on your phone?
I'm looking at the keyboard. I mean, I guess you accidentally hit the A and then the rest makes sense.
Oh, so he maybe typed in A Rams and it came up Arabs.
Yeah, it was an accidental A and then the rest makes sense. It's fun.
That is funny. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so a few of them on our Facebook page. Alton says Super Bowl V, the first modern era Super Bowl. Oh, heavens. I have no idea who played in Super Bowl V. Let's see. Baltimore Colts. Oh, we talked about this one earlier. Baltimore Colts, Dallas Cowboys. That was also in Miami. 16-13 was the final. Jeremy is like a lot of us, agrees Steelers, Cardinals. Angel says Tennessee versus Rams, by far the best Super Bowl. Josh says, I don't remember what year it was with Brett Favre and Reggie White, but watching Reggie White get 3 or 4 sacks in the game, yeah, that would go back to the Green Bay Packers. And when Brett Favre got his Super Bowl ring, I'm going to look really quick. There it is. Okay, Green Bay Packers, that was against the Patriots. Desmond Howard was actually the Super Bowl MVP, and that was Super Bowl 31. And that was the 96 season in New Orleans. Man, some of these places have seen the most incredible Super Bowl memories. New Orleans Saints 2009 season, Tracy Porter pick 6. That's from Wallace on our Facebook page. I feel like we could continue this topic all the way through the day, certainly the week. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question, so keep those coming, and we'll talk to you tonight for Hump Show. Have a great day. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.